Hello and welcome to Abandon Cart, the podcast we wish we had when running our own e-commerce store. I'm Adam, one of the co-founders of Pink Leopard, a growth acceleration agency specializing in e-commerce. Welcoming to today's show is John Lyons. John is a marketing veteran with over 20 years experience covering specialisms such as digital, social, promotional marketing, loyalty and brand strategy with both agencies and brands, including the Lego Group. John has also founded and exited two agencies, taught at London South Bank University and at the National Film and Television School. John has also supported the marketing community with mentoring and coaching and is now working as an independent fractional CMO, bringing his experience as a business director to agency clients and a brand strategist to brand clients. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Yeah, that whoever you've got on today sounds great.
Is there anything you haven't done in marketing?
Not much, to be honest. It's one of those where I'll hold my hands up and say I'm a massive marketing nerd and I've never stopped learning. So there are things that have changed my direction along the way. So from accidentally falling into it, I've bounced all over the place with stuff that I just find fascinating. So yeah, not much really.
Yeah, I love. Well, we're really lucky to have you with all the experience that you have. It's going to be a great show for the audience. So before we get into today's topic, can you let the listeners know what the best advice you've ever received is and how it has impacted your life?
That kind of almost links onto what I just said. So I think I've set this up nicely by accident. But the best advice I ever had was to never stop learning. You know, never stop learning. Things are always developing. There might be everlasting truisms, but always keep learning. Speaking for me personally, I've recently completed my third Marketing Week mini MBA. Throughout the last 20 years, I've made efforts to seek out and read the classics of our industry, going back to 1931, McElroy's memo, which kind of outlined brand marketing and brand for the first time, and Stephen King, not that Stephen King's planning guide in the 70s. Yeah, I've just constantly gone back and I'm fascinated. I'm a scholar as well as a practitioner. And I think one of the things is, I think I'm probably not alone in your listenership here. Sometimes you accidentally get into marketing or digital marketing, and I certainly did. So I never had any formal training. So going back and finding out what some of what I'd been doing had been pretty much on the money was fantastic. And having Mark Ritson say, good idea, yes, that's the right thing to do, was a banger. Finding that I was going the very long way to getting stuff that had already been established has been really important. And it's made me a much more rounded marketer, but also a much better digital marketer. So it's tied everything together. That's the best advice I've had. And that's the advice that I'd give out to anybody.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant advice because this industry is ever changing. You can't rest on your laurels. You have what's relevant and working today might not be the same tomorrow. So yeah, I think that's advice. Excellent. Well, really looking forward to getting into this topic for today. So we'll be discussing how the customer journey begins offline, and by understanding this will make you a better marketer online. So what do you mean when you say the customer journey begins offline, John?
So I guess going back to my diving back into the classics and how marketing works, decisions aren't made online. Decisions aren't made in store, if we're talking about kind of brick and mortar. Yet decisions are made in the mind. And there's been some brilliant advances made over the last decade or so in what some would call marketing science, but certainly empirical marketing and evidence-based marketing. And one of the most fascinating things, which came from B2B, LinkedIn's B2B Institute, was that at any given time, of your absolute target market, the people that will be buying from your category and either you or similar products, at any given time, only 5% are in buying mode. Mm-hmm. And so understanding what's happening with the other 95% who aren't in buying mode, who aren't going to then click through and go into the classic digital marketing funnel, is going to give you a much better impact into how to load them up with what Erebor Bass Institute have called mental availability, i.e. having your brand available to someone connected to the category for when they're ready to buy. And obviously the physical availability is the other side of it, which is having somewhere that you can go to buy, so the e-commerce site. So understanding really that most decision-making isn't made on from Google through to a click, through to various pages or through social channels, it's made in the mind. And the more that we can understand that, and the more that we can reflect on recent and classic traditional marketing studies of how consumers think, how consumers buy, then the more value that we can add to digital marketing, where we can track what the digital funnel is, basically the lower end of the traditional marketing funnel: awareness, consideration, preference, and then we're making a purchase. We're down at the preference level, really, or maybe consideration, but we don't understand awareness and what that means to people and who they're comparing you to in the category set and the kind of things that they're looking for and the kind of things that they don't want to see in order to buy. So by understanding what people are doing, you are going to have a much better chance of closing when you're further down the funnel on the classic digital marketing funnel. And that's really it. It sounds silly to say. And I think having been a digital marketer where you can sit and you can watch people moving around all your different channels, and it's fascinating and it's so real. And there's always been a lot of fluff in trad marketing, in all honesty, but that's changed. That's changed. And so understanding that up there will make much more powerful effects further down on the bottom line.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So it's about being extremely kind of data-led, but not just from a digital perspective, looking at the wider picture, consumer behaviours, etc.
Absolutely.
Understanding that to really get the most out of your digital further down the end of the funnel, if you like, at the bottom end.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things, looking at something like brand tracking surveys. So with a panel survey, you're basically able to ask a significant statistically significant number of people that will buy from your category what they think of you, what they think of rival brands, who they choose, what makes them choose, what turns them on, what turns them off, and build a really tight strategy based on that. And with these things, so as an example, if you were to work with a panel company, they have a whole bunch of people, YouGov, etc., a whole bunch of people on their panel who will suit your category, and they'll tell you how many they've got. But as an example, if your tight target market is 1 million people, and that's quite a lot of people to sell to, right? If your tight target market is 1 million people, then you only need a panel of 385 people to give you results with a 95-degree level of confidence. It might cost a few grand. It might cost double figure, thousands. Shouldn't cost much more than that, but it gives you an absolute roadmap to where you sit in the market, where you can sit in the market, and what you need to be and say in order to bring people further down the funnel. And that, to me, is dynamite.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting you're saying this, because I think having that deeper understanding of your target market, the industry, your competition is so important. And we've had different businesses come to us at Pink Leopard, and they're looking for a bit of a silver bullet in part. Seeing digital marketing, and we say this a lot on the podcast about silver bullets and digital marketing, and they come to us expecting Facebook ads, Google ads to be magic overnight. And they can obviously work phenomenally well, but it is the hard yards, it's the foundational stuff, it's the research to really, if you see your brand and you're so passionate about your brand that you see it for the next 5-10 years in the marketplace, just focusing all your attention on digital is never going to get you there. You've got to do everything, all of the homework, all of the research, everything that's going to get you to the point of where you're in the best possible position for your digital to start working hard. But without doing the legwork behind it, it's never going to happen, or not to the degree that it could.
100%. And just as an example of that, I was working with a brand recently where it's a B2B brand. They work with retailers, and their understanding of their competitive set, so who they would be up against in pitches for major retailers. Once we did the survey, we found it went far wider. And one of the competitors, believe it or not, in small numbers, came out as Amazon, which was people self-serving instead of going to a specialist. But we found several of those things in there. And we found several associations with the category and the brand and some of the competitors that were new. They were new to the company, were new to the C-suite there. But it opened their eyes. There were a few things that kind of came out that they were disappointed to hear, but they were able to then respond to. And some things where they absolutely saw the opportunity to go in and play. And I think one of the other things there that came out was one of their competitors are seen by them, i.e. a competitor, to be very active and very vocal and probably have a great reputation around sustainability. That didn't come out from the consumers. So one of the other great sort of the first rule of marketing is you're not the consumer. Even if you do buy that particular product yourself too much, you're not the consumer. So finding that level of insight, it can give you, sometimes it will just reinforce what you knew, and that's great because then you're de-risking what you're about to do. But other times it will open up completely new avenues for business and profit. So you know, it's one of those where, you know, being realistic, not everyone has the budget. Not everyone can spend 5, 10 grand, 20 grand. But if you have the budget, why wouldn't you de-risk it and find out everything you can? Because ultimately, what you're doing with that kind of survey is you're getting the customers to tell you what you need to be for them to give you their money and to give you more of their money, which is marketing.
Yeah, no, I think that's really helpful advice. And one of the other things I was going to ask on that was, we're used to watching real-time data of various types at granular levels. And so how robust do you think these models are?
With panel data, it's statistically significant. As I say, you can work out by the size of your market compared to the size of the panel from 90 to 99% kind of, you know, relevance. So super significant there. And in a lot of the other studies, one of the big things that has changed for me in marketing over the last decade or so has been real evidence-based marketing and, you know, empirical mm-hmm. studies where things have been tested across categories, across time, and reported peer-to-peer in a scientific way. So, yeah, there's some wonderful stuff that probably as a generalist marketer has changed my approach. If you're familiar with Burnett and Field and the 60-40 rule, where they looked at the case studies of the most effective advertising from the IPA index and worked out that those which performed both highest spent 60% of their marketing budget on brand rather than performance. Yeah. And it's basically because brand is future sales. It's hitting that 95%. But 60-40 isn't empirical. That's not been proven. But a lot of the other stuff absolutely has. It's all out there if you want to read the nerdy studies, and I'm nerdy enough to do it. But it's changed. It certainly didn't feel this way when I started out in digital marketing. I'd look out and find a lot of stuff about having empathy, some super interesting stuff as well about how people think and behavioral science. But it wasn't really backed up with I'm sitting here now watching my dashboard. I know exactly what's happening, and you're telling me these magical truisms. So I think it is a lot more robust now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think going back to that piece on the 60-40 rule, it goes back a little bit to what I was saying about the silver bullet in digital marketing again, yeah. Because I think a lot of e-commerce stores really need to remember and understand that the brand piece is so incredibly important, especially if you do want to do this long term. Yeah. You've got to focus on the brand because, as you say, that's tomorrow's sales, not necessarily today's. It's setting you up for the future and being so passionate and really focusing on your brand and being prepared to not see those dopamine hits of seeing results straight away that we have been used to previously in digital marketing. But knowing that this groundwork is going to set you up for the future is incredibly important.
Oh, absolutely. And it's, yeah, obviously you're a great practitioner. There are lots of people out there that aren't, but yeah, it's very easy if you're tied up being the solo digital guy needing to prove numbers to almost accidentally be paying for clicks that were going to come anyway. There's a whole thing around kind of retention and loyalty and bottom of the funnel clicks where if you're being super efficient rather than effective, you're paying for people that are already on their way. So branded search terms, for example. If someone's searching for your brand, then brilliant. That means they're already aware of you. So the brand work has worked. But if they come through from Google, it sometimes gets attributed as a Google click. It's not Google, it's brand. So absolutely, you're right. Let's set up the sales for tomorrow and the day after. And furthermore, let's feed that 95% so that when it's their turn to be in that 5%, they remember you and they remember you positively. And you're already in the kind of the repertoire of brands that they want to buy from.
Yeah, fantastic. So when did you see a change in that traditional marketing approach to data?
Oh, so there was a book which came out in 2010. And I remember going to a shopper marketing conference not long after. And everyone was talking about this little red book. And so it's called How Brands Grow. It's by Byron Sharp from the Ehrenberg Bass Institute. And it changed everything. It brought data to everything. It proved and disproved so much. Some people still disagree with some of it. I think you can cherry pick a little if you like. Some things are different in some categories, but on the whole, not. But it brought a new idea of this kind of how brand impacts things and how people actually purchase, and led on to a whole load of other publications from them and others. We moved from physical availability and mental availability, which came out there, and actually how light buyers can make up the majority of your purchases. So acquisition, if you want to grow your brand, it's about acquiring new light buyers rather than trying to convert people into heavier buyers. Although for some brands, they can do both. I've worked in loyalty at Lego. It's a brand that can do that. But it really changed everything for a lot of people, particularly marketing generalists. It's like we're reading something that's got the level of data and the level of detail that digital marketers have been used to. And suddenly it's out there to everybody. And it's empirically proven. And things have grown from it. Yeah. I think one of the most important things is following up from that, Jenny Romniak, who also from the Ehrenberg Bass Institute, she wrote a book about distinctive brand assets and category entry points. And category entry points are, for me, a massive game changer, because then it's not thinking, okay, if someone's going to buy a sweater and I'm a sweater brand, who are they going to consider? It's, why is someone going to buy a sweater? What's the entry point? Yeah, am I buying a new wardrobe for winter? Am I out and it's cold? Whatever the reasons might be. And thinking about it that way, that's how people buy. They don't decide, wake up one day and say, I'm going to be in the automotive category today. So it's getting into those things. It just really changed, I think, the understanding of how people actually think about brands, which isn't much, and how they buy. So 2010 changed everything.
Yeah. And so how do you think then that e-com and digital marketers can use that knowledge to generate more sales?
So I think the first thing is let's recognize that trad marketing's caught up a little bit. I think we've been comfortable looking slightly askance, going, yeah, okay, good luck with that. Where's the evidence? The evidence is there now. So what we can do is take our traditional knowledge and understanding and practice of using data to bring this down. Understand brand tracking, so the surveys I was talking about and how brands move, understanding the full funnel, what happens above digital, and that digital is towards the bottom of the funnel, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, what consumers need to believe and where you need to focus to increase that bottom line. So I think let's take it on board, let's move up, reclaim the space as the true data-driven marketers that digital is, and aim towards that bottom line.
Yeah, fantastic. So I think it's a case of obviously being current with the times and using the data that we have available to us, but not forgetting the traditional kind of tried and tested ways of doing marketing and an amalgamation of both, really.
Oh, absolutely. But also how traditional marketing has come on leaps and bounds in terms of being empirical rather than attitudinal based. So, I mean, I did a talk a little while back where I took some quotes from some of the greats of advertising and marketing, sort of creatives, and they were all poo-pooing the idea of science and data, kind of madmen world. And yeah, great if you've got a great idea, but actually also that's fairly misrepresentative. The idea of the kind of one-man genius doesn't really hang around. But yeah. Why wouldn't you do things properly? Why wouldn't you do things properly if you could? And the key thing is that kind of looking at this empirical data doesn't mean that we're moving into a sea of same and we're all doing exactly the same thing, because actually what it mostly points to is that when you're doing the things that are going to give you the best chance, i.e. following the data, following the science, the thing that will then make the difference is creativity. It's about the message. It's about speaking to the emotion of the consumer rather than necessarily the function. Going back to the sweater example, it's made from 70% this, 20% that, 10% that. It weighs such and such. Dry it on a low heat dry. Nobody cares about that. But if you talk about it coming from the wool of the Himalayas and how it makes you feel, that much more buys people in. So I think, understanding that what marketing science does is de-risk a lot of things, but it really does also point to the power of creativity.
Fantastic. Yeah, I think that's really fantastic and valuable knowledge to give the listeners. And thank you for sharing that with us. Is there anything that we didn't ask you that you think would be good for the audience to know?
Maybe. Yeah, I think one of the things that I find myself as a grey-haired generalist marketer is quite often I find myself on Twitter or the socials in the middle of a clusterfuck of people similar to me but who don't have the digital experience pooing on digital. And I think it's a massive mistake. That there's, I think a lot, some of the stuff that's come out of digital has been incorrect and damaging. Gary Vee has been a great digital voice. He's hugely successful. He doesn't understand actual marketing. I'll say that now. Neil Patel is an absolute genius at SEO. He's not a marketer. And so what some of the old boys have seen represented through younger people new to marketing who look up to those big voices is misrepresented views of marketing. And that there's a habit for them to tie everything together and assume it's the same. And it's not. I'm there standing the ground as a kind of probably former digital marketer, but still formatively a digital marketer. I think don't get bogged down by it. Don't feel that digital marketing is being looked down upon. Everybody knows it's important. I think, but there is a sometimes snide attempt to remind everybody that it's a channel that's part of marketing and marketing begins in the brain. And that's true, but that doesn't mean it doesn't end online. It doesn't mean that online doesn't have a value in brand. YouTube video based is proving almost as effective as TV for kind of traditional advertising. And we're seeing all of this stuff coming up because of the marketing science. So stand your ground. Don't be intimidated, but also don't be afraid to learn. We can all get better together.
Thank you so much for that, John. I really love how passionate you are about this topic and marketing in general. I know that there's been an incredible amount of value here for the audience. So I really appreciate you coming onto the podcast and joining us.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. How can the listeners connect with you, John?
So I'm going to call it Twitter because damn you, Elon. So I'm still clinging on Twitter as Johnny Ego. I'm quite active on there. I like to talk marketing. I also like to talk absolute nonsense. Yeah, I will occasionally get potty mouthed, but I still love Twitter. And for me, it's where I found my feet as a marketer. I found my tribe. I learned so much. Too many people have left, which is so sad, but I can understand why. Or LinkedIn. I'm John Lyons on LinkedIn, the man with the hat. So yeah, find me in those places.
I'm sure there'll be lots of people tapping you up after this episode, John. Thank you again, and thank you to everyone for listening. If you did enjoy the show, please subscribe and follow us for more episodes. We've got plenty more coming soon. And if you enjoy the podcast, please kindly leave us a review. If you are keen to discuss any aspect of digital marketing, obviously you can contact John or the team at Pink Leopard, and we'd be more than happy to help. Just visit pinkleopard.co.uk for details. Thank you all again. Take care.